Welcome to The Right Chamber, the podcast that takes you inside the NHS to explore what really makes a hospital a hospital.
Each episode, we sit down with the people who keep healthcare moving, from doctors, nurses on the front line, to students, the support teams, administrators, corporate staff, and everyone in between. These are the voices that often go unheard, but together they form the heartbeat of our hospitals.
Our aim is simple: to share authentic stories that are accessible to the public, meaningful to NHS staff, and a reminder that healthcare is more than treatments and wards. It's a whole community working together.
So whether you're part of the NHS family or simply curious about the people behind the service, join us as we open the doors to the conversations that matter here in the Right Chamber.
Nithi Patel is an experienced NHS charity leader and head of Dudley Group NHS Charity, driving strategic growth to enhance patient care, staff well-being, and community health. Skilled in fundraising, stakeholder engagement, and programme delivery, she builds meaningful partnerships and delivers impactful initiatives. Nithi combines inclusive leadership, innovation, and a warm, people-focused approach to create sustainable, positive change across the NHS and local communities. Today on The Right Chamber, we're shining a light on the Dudley Group NHS charity, how it supports patients, staff, services beyond core NHS funding.
We'll explore where the money comes from, the people behind it, and how you can get involved to make a real difference across our hospitals.
From small donations to major impact, this is the story of community in action.
So let's get started. My name is Jaspreet.
My name is Victor.
And today we have another special guest, Nithi Patel. Hi, Nithi. Would you like to introduce yourself and what do you do in the NHS?
Sure. Nice to meet you guys. I'm Nithi. I'm the head of fundraising for the Dudley Group NHS charity, which is the charitable arm of our trust here today.
Brilliant. Head of charity. So how did you get into head of charity? Is this something as typical for an NHS trust?
No. Well, all NHS trusts do have a charitable arm to what they do. Depending on how big they are and how much investment there is within the charitable side, they have established charities. So sort of the well-known ones a lot of people know, like Great Ormond Street Hospital, they've got a big charitable arm. And more locally, Birmingham Children's Hospital is really well-known. So our team here is quite small relative to some of the other charities out there. It's probably not a typical career that I think people would think about in the NHS.
How did you get into it?
Yeah, so I when I was about 16, I started doing some volunteering whilst I was studying for my A-levels for a charity. And I thought to myself, well, this seems like a really great area of work. As I went on to university, I did lots of other voluntary work. So was part of all the committees at university, did some befriending work. And then when I graduated, I did a degree in psychology and I didn't really know what I wanted to do afterwards. And so I fell into the charitable area of work. I did jobs that were sort of frontline delivery. So I worked for a charity called MenCap, which was a learning disability charity, supported people into employment who had a learning disability. And then I went into sort of management positions after that. So worked for a young people's sports charity. I was an operations manager there. And then an opportunity came up in the fundraising team for that charity I worked for. I'd never done fundraising before, but I was very good at building relationships with organisations, partners outside of work, and took on like a new business development manager job. And my job was to bring in corporate partners into the charity. So to build like strategic relationships where businesses might want to give some donations. They may want their staff to get behind a fundraising initiative, organising events, that kind of thing. And that's where it sort of progressed from there and went on to sort of a head of corporate partnerships position. And then I got married, moved to the Midlands. And this job came up and it was closer to home. It seemed like a really great opportunity to grow the charity in Dudley.
Yeah.
So when you started at the age of 16, normally at that age, it's usually a tick box exercise to like volunteer. What drew you to volunteering?
I think everyone in my family did do jobs that were pretty much all around caring or giving. So I think that's where I imagine sort of my value set sort of started from, and probably not really realizing that at that age, but my mum worked, you know, for a charity, not directly in a, like a fundraising role, but in like a service delivery role. And so I always saw what she did, and kind of that sort of helped me understand the engagement side. I think I just found satisfaction in like helping people, as ironic as that sounds, not realizing that you could actually build a career and be quite successful in the charitable side of things. And as I've progressed up the ladder, you have to kind of take a bit more of a backseat from the doing and become more strategic. And those skills I've had to learn over the years, really. But I think everything that's always remained the same is my values. I really feel like wherever you work, for me, the value set of that organisation and myself has to match in order for me to work there. And those values are around, you know, caring, giving back, respecting. So I just think that's my value set, and the Dudley Group's value set is quite similar in that sense.
That's amazing. And, you know, just as you said, when you have that values that you can identify with, it just makes it so much easier to then kind of just commit yourself fully and
enjoy your work,
and
really.
Enjoy it. Yeah.
It is challenging. You know, we work, end of the day, working in the NHS is challenging. And you'd think we do the nice part, you know, by adding that extra value, funding things that, you know, go above and beyond what the NHS can provide. But it can still be challenging, especially in the fundraising sector at the moment. People have less money to give. And there's so many charities out there. So it's very competitive. People are fighting for the same pots of funds that are out there. But ultimately what we are doing is rewarding, especially when you see a project or an application that you've applied for and you're successful with that, and then you actually see the project come to life, and the impact that has on whether it's patients, staff or the local public. I think that makes it all worthwhile, really.
Okay. I think we'll go into some of those challenges a little bit more in a bit, and perhaps some of the projects that you've done as well. What I want to ask is, it's quite interesting because you mentioned there's kind of front end part of of charity work. Then there's the fundraising aspect, then there's leadership roles, and there's a whole career you can build within charity. Just for the average person in public, when I think charity, immediately you're thinking about, I guess, the front end part. Yeah. The people actually there, maybe
with the buckets
yeah. or with the signs, or there's a whole planning behind that, isn't there? There's a whole more structured committee or team behind that that's planning what's going to be done, what's the budget, because to make money you have to spend money as well. The budgeting, the team. So tell us a little bit about kind of the breakdown of what the structure is like.
So if I use the example of the Dudley Group NHS charity and how it works over here, so we have a charity, like governance wise we have a charity board, and so that is made up of executives and non-executives of the trust. So they're the people I'm ultimately responsible to. All the execs and non-execs are the trust are trustees of the Dudley Group NHS charity. And then I sit within the communications team. So I report to the group director of communications. So that's how our sort of governance structure works. And then within our team, we've had to set up a lot of processes. So we've got our own fundraising systems that are sort of behind the scene. We have our own CRM where we capture data about all the donors that come through the door. We have Just Giving pages, event sign-up platforms where people can register for various different things. We have our own standalone website. So that's our sort of external facing website and everything that goes sort of as part of that. And then internally, we've had to set up a lot of different steps to how everything works. So all the way from, if someone's going to donate to us, what are their options in being able to donate? So we work really closely with the finance team at the trust to process donations, whether they're through an online platform or a check or via BACS. There's that whole sort of side of things, and then ensuring that we thank those donors that have given to us. And they have the option of donating to various different areas in the trust. So somebody might say they want to donate to the cardiology department because that's the area that they've been supported through, or a family member has. Or they might say, actually, we're happy to give that donation to the charity. Where it's up to you what you'd like to spend the funds on. So we just make sure we thank them and ensure where they give their donation to, it's like reserved for that area. Then it's about them working with that department that's received the donation to ensure the money is spent well and spent on the things that the donor has wished for it to be spent on. So the types of things that the charity funds are things like medical equipment that might be more advanced than what the department already have. We help improve the environment, so create less clinical spaces and put the patient really at the core of what that space is to be there for. And we also fund things like training as well. So medical training, usually from medical clinical individuals, support research and development as well. So grants to support further research into the trust or into the NHS. And then we build partnerships with organisations in the local community to try and be more of that preventative arm to stopping people from coming into hospital. So then you're like working with the departments to make that happen. And then obviously the other big side is constantly building partnerships and relationships to try and enable funds. So within my team, we organize a lot of events. So that takes a lot of organizing. It's usually months from getting sponsors to getting people to sign up to the event and the logistics of delivering that event as well. There's a lot to it. And if you were going to work for a bigger charity, you could be in like an operational program delivery type role. The fundraisers is a completely separate team usually. And there's finance, there'd be HR. So it'd be just like a business, but for a charitable cause. So, you know, like big charities out there, they're sort of, you know, multi-million pound turnover charities. So yeah, our aim is to also bring in the money, but also spend the money effectively. Mm. I think that's really important to ensure that we're there's impact in terms of what we're doing. And then we're also doing the monitoring, the evaluation of everything that we've spent money on.
That must be really challenging trying to figure out where to give the money. Like, you know, there's every department needs something.
Yeah.
So how do you guys like figure out these challenges? How do you deal with it?
It can be challenging. So within the charity, we have a number of different charitable funds. So we've probably got about over 70 different funds across the trust. Wow. And they're in various different specialities. So that does help because that's specific to those areas. And each of the funds have a fund manager, which is usually the matron of the area, and they're able to make that decision in terms of when they've got money within their pot, what would they like to spend that money on? It needs to then go through an authorization process. So myself and finance team members get to see what they're planning to spend their money on. And then that goes to our charity committee, who ultimately say, yeah, that's a good way of spending your funds. I set a strategy every 3 years. I've got a fundraising and spending strategy and then an implementation plan. And we have three key strategic objectives, which is around patients. Second is around people, meaning NHS staff. And third is around partnerships. So as long as what they're planning to spend money on meets that criteria, that's okay. From our perspective, we have key appeals that we have every year. So key areas of work that we are directly fundraising for. So some of the most popular areas of things like dementia, cancer, unfortunately, children's. And we've got a big appeal around baby bereavement as well within our maternity department. Those are the areas that people tend to give more commonly to. And then we ring fence that funding specifically for those areas. And we work with the clinical teams. So whether it's the director of midwifery or the director of operations for surgery, women and children's, you know, we sit down with them and we do some planning with them around what's the best use of that funding. The one thing we just always say, it has to be something that the NHS wouldn't fund, and it has to go above and beyond what their normal budgets would pay for. So it has to be seen to be adding that value, because that's what donors want. They don't want the money to just go into a NHS budget. They want it to show that the it's making a meaningful, impactful difference, really. So there's a lot of annual planning that we do before we start going into the new financial year of fundraising, really. So we know what we're fundraising for.
Mm, yeah, because there's funds coming in, yes, from the government NHS budget, which is distributed as, you know, they see fit. But then in this case, the patients, families, relatives, members of the public, anyone who wants to donate, they can actually say, actually, I care about this specific thing. I would like to give money for this reason. And so it's great to hear that your department isn't just like a separate entity, but you're so integrated with the clinical team, the matrons, yeah, the head of the department, so that it's what they want, what they see as this will actually have the biggest impact on our patients.
Yeah.
That the funds are then directed towards. And it also sounds like there's, you know, multiple level of oversight above that. As you said, you also have the responsible, you know, board of execs and multiple levels of checks to make sure there's transparency and just support for people who are then willing to give. Because at the end of the day, fundraising is a huge part of the NHS, isn't it? Especially as trusts like this. That all the wonderful things that you're mentioning was like the dementia care and some of the key things in, say, maternity or children's. A lot of these things, yes, there is funds coming in from government, but some things just won't be possible without the help of people
who,
who've just donated of the kindness of their heart.
So for example, we in the children's ward, there's a space, it was the play area, but it was really underutilized. There wasn't sufficient storage in their playroom for the children that are on that ward. And they didn't have any additional funds to make that space just look a bit more inviting for children and their families that use it. So we applied for a grant for that. We had a corporate partner that supported us, who we were successful with the grant. And we had it cost about £35,000 to completely refurbish that room. So more sufficient storage, really lovely like wall art, gave them they wanted a jungle theme in the room. So we had wall art around that, LED skylights, new flooring, new painting, a wet area for children to do activities, a reading corner. And you should see the transformation to what it looked like before to what it is now. And the people that the children can actually use that space now, they can go in a time where, you know, time's stressful when they're on the wards, and not just for them, but for their families as well. And they can actually have a bit of time out and do what children enjoy doing, which is playing. So that's been an amazing project. Same with our maternity ward. Unfortunately, the baby bereavement side, it's like a really traumatic experience for families that are going through that. So before the charity got involved, someone that unfortunately loses a baby was in like a normal sort of room within the ward. So with charitable funds and the appeal that we had, we managed to create a baby bereavement suite, which was a fully dedicated suite for those that unfortunately go through that loss. And it's like soundproofed. So that makes a big difference. So they can't hear anything else happening within the corridor. There's like a partner bed that a partner can stay overnight and actually have a comfortable bed to sleep in as well. They've got their own kitchenette area, their own bathroom, you know, and just as little added extras to the room that during that really terrible time can make a huge difference. So, you know, by doing those sort of room refurbishments, I think we are really adding a lot of value and difference to across the trust, really.
And at the moment, are there any ongoing projects that are particularly exciting or memorable that you'd like our listeners to know? So just so you know, our listeners are including members of staff and also just the general public listening. So any fun projects going on at the moment?
We've launched recently 7 rooms that we refurbish for staff members. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of people don't realise that, you know, staff force of the NHS is one of our key objectives for our charity to support. So we refurbished rooms that were originally staff rooms, or one was actually used as a storage room, and staff didn't really have anywhere suitable to go and have a break. And we converted them into staff wellbeing rooms. So that's been amazing, to actually for staff to have a space to go and have a break away from their really, you know, demanding jobs. And the feedback has been amazing. Everybody has said it's made a huge difference to their own well-being. Opportunity to go and have a chat with a staff member outside of that, you know, work environment as well. And they're just restful, relaxing spaces. So we're really proud of doing that. And we're continuing to fund a few extra rooms as well. So I think we would have done by the end of this year, maybe 10 rooms altogether. So that's something we're really proud of. And we got a £121,000 grant from NHS Charities Together to do that. So that was an amazing project. One we've got at the moment, it's called the Community Bridge Project. So this is a project where we are training volunteers to become discharge peer volunteers. And they're going on to wards where there's patients who are ready to leave hospital and get ready for discharge, to do some questionnaires with them to understand what their needs are when they leave hospital. And if they need potential support when they get home. And then we're providing what we call a social prescribing link worker. So they will work with that patient once they're home, just to make sure things like, do they have food in the fridge? Is there electricity and gas on at home? Do they need transport to get home? Or are they facing isolation, you know, loneliness when they're back at home, and helping them to provide some interventions once they are at home? So the real big aim is to stop readmission into hospital.
Yeah, just bouncing back to hospital.
Mm. Exactly. And we've also purchased a vehicle for our volunteers as well. That's an additional project. So we've bought a charity vehicle that's going to help get patients home from hospital who may not qualify for, say, ambulance care, or may not have family or friends that are able to take them home. It's like a free transport vehicle, that's driven by volunteers again.
Wow.
And we're just in the process of getting it branded in our charity colours. It's going to be a bright yellow. So people around Dudley... people around Dudley will see the Dudley smile on there, but we're hoping that will help us raise additional funds. We're going to be having a campaign to help, you know, get additional funds to help run that vehicle over time. So that one's really exciting. And we've also won some funding recently to start a new project, which is all around cardiovascular health, particularly for staff members who are from a Black, Asian, ethnic minority background, who are over the age of 40. To get health checks done.
They're higher risk, isn't it?
They're higher risk. So across our trust, I think we have around 800 staff members that fit that sort of criteria. And we're also going to be working with our partners on site as well. So like, you know, our PFI partners who supply all our facilities management, to also extend that through to them. And Action Heart, who are the charity that are on site, which, you know, look at cardiovascular health. So it's, again, a really great partnership project between us, them, and trying to target those individuals as well. And if they are faced with any issues such as, you know, obesity, high blood pressure, they would then be supported on how they can improve their lifestyle to tackle that. So I'm really excited about that one.
Such exciting projects. Exciting projects. You must smile just coming into that.
I do, especially when we get funding through. That makes me very happy. But, you know, my team do such a good job, right, all the way from, like, you know, documenting when people are provided as a donation. We offer the opportunity for people to come in, have a check presentation. We have, like, a jumbo check that we have around the check presentations. But it's a nice opportunity just to say to those that are donating to us, thank you. And we get them to come and meet some of the clinical staff, give them a tour around the wards. And that makes a really, really big difference. And obviously with the move now to try and move a lot of our services into the community, we're trying to work closer with our community partners as well. So we're not just hospital focused, we are community focused as well.
Amazing.
Such a feel good job to do.
You're making me feel like, yeah, it is.
Absolutely. What I find interesting, like, you know, when you think charity, you think, okay, just maybe the medical condition, but it can also be charity to support the staff, members of staff, charity to support the training of the staff, as well as patients, and not just the patients, but then the relative of patients, making the whole hospital experience, transforming the whole hospital experience. So it's kind of right from the caregivers to the care receivers. There's kind of one, or there's a charity kind of that kind of support each area.
And I think that sometimes, you know, when people are going through difficult times, actually by turning their efforts into doing something for charity, I think that does give people something else to focus on. So we get a lot of people that unfortunately have lost a family member, within our trust, and they are then trying to look for something else that they could do to really, you know, have that positive angle to what they're doing. So whether it's at a funeral, they, instead of asking for flowers, a lot of families ask for donations instead, and then those donations come to ourselves. And people choose to do some crazy things like throw themselves out of planes or do bungee jumps, you know, to raise funds. We're doing a big dragon boat race at Himley Hall soon, in the next few months. We've got a Sunrise to Snowdon event as well, so people can be trekking up Snowdon, all for, you know, a great cause. So I just think, you know, people can turn those really difficult experiences into something positive by using the charity, and I think that's amazing to be part of that, really. And we had a lady who was going through breast cancer, and she'd had a really difficult time, but she actually decided to put all her efforts into fundraising and ended up raising something like £10,000 for the charity.
Wow.
That's amazing.
So I think that really helped her journey going through that. So there's that positive arm to it, definitely.
Wow. So for those listening, staff, members of the public, how can someone get involved with the Dudley Group NHS charity? How can they get involved? They're listening to this, they're feeling inspired, they just want to do something,
they want to give. How can they give?
It's really easy. We have our own website, so it's Dudley Group NHS Charity. If you Google it, it'll be the first thing that comes up. It tells you all the different ways you can donate, so you can donate directly onto the website, and you can say specifically where you want your donation to go, and we'll ensure it goes to that area and is spent correctly. You could take part in one of our events. We have a whole events page. You could sign up. It could be something small, like doing a bake sale, you know, in your place of work, maybe a school, you know, a community centre. It doesn't have to be something huge. You could do something really small and basic to raise a bit of funding and raise awareness as well. And you could come and visit one of our spaces. So if you're really interested in doing something on a sort of a larger scale, get in touch with our charity, come and see some of our spaces. Hopefully they will inspire you, and then you can get involved during that way as well. And spread the message to your friends and family. We're really active on social media, so if you want to see any of our videos, the types of things that we do, if you follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, there's lots of videos and photographs and things on how you can get involved.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. Are there any final words that you would like to say?
Yeah, I'd say to people, if they've never got involved with a charity, seriously think about it. There's lots of things that you can do. Outside of work, I'm also a chair of a charity on a board, an Asian Women's Domestic Violence charity. So there's always trustee opportunities that people can do outside of work, and you can have a real impact there. Or even just simple things like volunteering. You might want to come and volunteer at one of our events, or, you know, help out on our charity. We've got a charity hub at the front of the hospital. There's lots of ways you can get involved. So, yeah, just try and think of what you can do to give back would be my number one thing for people to take away.
Brilliant. And we can all give back in some way. And, you know, once you identify with something that identifies with your values, then, you know, if you're thinking about it, just go, you know, start by opening the website and just having a look at what's happening. Perhaps if you don't have to create your own thing, you can just join on to something that's already going on.
We're always down for like bake sales, aren't we?
Oh yeah, bake sales are always fun.
Or a samosa sale, they go down quite well.
Oh yeah. Thank you to everyone who is listening. I'm sure you've all enjoyed this episode. I know I have. So definitely we'll put some of the links at the bottom of the up videos and signpost you to the right direction for those who are keen to get involved in charitable work. Brilliant. Till the next time, we'll see you. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Remember to stay connected with us on social media. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at RGUCMS. And subscribe to our YouTube channel, RGUC Media, for more exclusive content and updates. Thanks for tuning in to the Right Chamber podcast. Until next time.